part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm not doing part.
Well, let's begin this part-time fanboy podcast. My name is Christian Horn, and I am on the line with my good friend Mark L. Miller of M.L. Miller Writes. And we are here to chat about the CW's newest series, Black Lightning.
Crack-a-cow.
Enter electric sound effects. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you for joining me, Mark. I was very interested in talking about this particular series because, I don't know, it just seemed like it was going to be something different from the CW. Like they were going to try and do something different, than their sort of regular formula show. Particularly when I heard that it was not going to be part of like the Arrowverse in any way. Yeah. So
is that true? I was kind of hoping that it would be.
I was hoping that it would be too when I initially heard about it. But from what I understand, this is like another sort of like I think what they did with Supergirl, which is an alternate sort of universe thing, which kind of bites. But
I like it when they all cross over together. I mean, I'm sure eventually they will. But it's CW too, right?
Yeah. It's a CW show. It's not like how Supergirl started off and she was on CBS and then they like folded her into the CW. This is a CW show. So and it's it's you can easily watch it on the CW app, which you aptly pointed out in our email exchange spells QAP.
Yes.
Elmer Fudd.
Quap.
So they might want to think about retitling that. But if you have not seen Black Lightning, I'm sure it's on demand on your local cable provider. And it's also on the CW app, Quap. So, let me start off with how, because we chatted a little bit on one of our other podcasts. Well, first of all, let's divert. How is Grave Trancers doing? Because people know that you have a comic. It's called Grave Trancers. And has issue 2 come out yet? I'm so bad.
Issue 2 comes out in 2 weeks. Actually, it's January 31st.
Oh, okay.
So, like a week. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
That'll be a lot of fun to get that second issue out of there. We're just wrapping up the series. And so, I mean, not with the second issue, but like on my front, I'm wrapping up the series and we're finishing up issue 4.
That's awesome.
And so hopefully there won't be any more hitches in schedules or anything like that. And we'll hopefully get this out on a monthly basis. So hopefully we'll wrap it up in March. And we'll see if I can get maybe a trade out there before San Diego Comic-Con. So that would be cool too.
Nice.
It's getting good word of mouth. I'll send you a copy of the, second issue. I have one here. So,
I'm excited. Yeah. 'Cause I did like the first issue a lot and,
thank you.
Yeah. A really good series. Everyone should check out, especially if you like horror. And you
it's gotten a lot of good word of mouth. A lot of good reviews came out from it. And so I was like, I mean, it's not that I thought it was going to suck or anything, but I'm always surprised to hear anybody actually bought a book that I made and read it. It's still just kind of like new and exciting to me.
That's awesome. I love it. That's so great. Good for you. You deserve it.
Thank you.
But what I was going to ask you before that is, I think we had chatted on one of the podcasts that we've done together in the past about like where we were at with the CW. Like, do you, because you're a hardcore comic guy. You still read like weekly stuff, right? Pretty much.
Not as much as I used to. I mean, I read what I need to read for the podcast, the other podcast that I do, the Spoiler Alert podcast.
Uh-huh.
But outside of that, I don't read a lot of anything else. But then I'll go to the comic store and I'll pick up like 4 issues of a series that I haven't been following in a while and try to catch up that way. That's not the best way of doing it, but it's like right now it's just it's just me having the space in my head for stuff like that, and the space in my wallet, and the space in my apartment. So there's a lot of space that's being taken up these days. So I mean, I try to keep up. I actually read the first issue of Black Lightning that just came out weeks ago, and it wasn't bad. It felt like it was really following the pattern of what we're going to be talking about in the series. It's just that I think that, but we can get into that later. But I found it interesting just because I really do like the character of Black Lightning. So I've been a fan of that character since like way back when he was, well, not all the way back to when he first appeared, but when he was in The Outsiders with Batman, and yeah. it was Metamorpho and him and Halo and Geo-Force and Katana. That was just there was such a weird group of people that I was just immediately interested in that book. And Black Lightning was always just super cool, and he had the open shirt and the afro and like, you know, it was just, he just had a cool costume, and you know, and I mean, he has quite a rich history in the DC universe, so it's interesting what they're pulling from it and what they're not in this TV show.
Yeah, it's really funny because, I mean, sort of, I actually reread the very first issue of Black Lightning probably about like half an hour ago, like right before I jumped on. And
like the original Black Lightning series?
Yeah, like 1977, I think. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and we should say that Black Lightning was created by Tony Isabella and Trevor Von Eden, I guess. Or, Eden. I'm guessing that's how you pronounce. He spells his last name with 2 E's. So as we know on this podcast, I'm known for mangling last names. But that's how I'm going to pronounce it. And it looks like first appearance is Black Lightning number 1, 1977. And I actually was able to track down a really beat up issue and read it just before I got online with you. And I was actually very cool. What's that?
It's very cool. Yeah, I'd be interested in reading that. That
I'll see if I don't know how I get it to you, but
no, I mean, I'll look at it. I mean, I'm sure it's, how much was it that you had to pay for it?
I got it for like nothing. It's beat up. It's like crappy. These days I don't really care about, you know, about like what condition it's in or whatever. I mean, I think like really good ones, I was just bouncing around the internet, are going like on eBay for like $20. So we're not talking like $100, you know, or like $200 or whatever, I guess. Yeah. I guess he's not that highly regarded. It's not
this isn't the first appearance of Wolverine.
Or anything like that. But, you know, I did reread that. Reread. I don't think I'd ever read it before, but I did read it. And it's interesting how they kept a lot of elements from that first issue in, you know, the pilot that they just they broadcast. I mean, tonight it's Tuesday night, so we will be recording, and they'll be probably airing the second episode right about now. But the first episode, I was very surprised as to like what they kept in, because like you, I love Black Lightning, but my biggest exposure of him was through Batman and The Outsiders, and then just became The Outsiders when Batman was a dick to The Outsiders and left that team too after he left the Justice League. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know much about him, so I was kind of going into this show blind. And then reading that first issue, I was like, oh, wow, there's a lot of interesting stuff that they kept in there that I was very surprised by.
Yeah, well, I know that, I mean, we might as well, I guess, just start talking about the character, I guess, but aspects that seem to have been brought over from the comics is the fact that he has 2 daughters.
Yeah.
One of them seems to be exhibiting some type of superpower related to that, like his powers a little bit, as evidenced at the end of that first pilot episode when she breaks the sink.
Yeah. She breaks the sink in the bathroom. Yeah.
He used to be a big hero, but something happened and then he decided to retire. And then there's Tobias Whale.
Yeah.
Who every time I see Tobias, I just think of Tobias Funky from Arrested Development.
Oh my god!
So I just need to like, you know, get used to this new Tobias. That's not he's not a blue man or you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I really liked that aspect of that Tobias Whale is this kind of like, he's like an albino black guy. That was really cool. I mean, he's a big imposing kind of kingpin like character, which is cool.
Yeah.
He likes to shoot harpoons into people.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
he takes and his kind of literally. Yeah.
And then you know, I don't know, I mean, I don't know if there's not a setup like in Smallville where you're gonna get the moon freak of the week or the rock kryptonite rock freak yet. Yeah. So, or like in Flash where basically everyone who was hit by the dark matter wave, is transformed into some type of superhuman, but or metahuman. But, so I don't know, like it seems like that is one of the things that kind of keeps these shows going. And it's definitely what I am interested in. I'm interested in seeing the characters from the comic kind of brought to life on screen like that. And I think that they've done it really well with Arrow. They've done it really well with Flash. And I'm hoping they're going to do the same with Black Lightning.
Yeah, but, and they've also done it really well with Supergirl, because I'm a big Supergirl fan, which
I haven't started yet, but I mean, here's the thing. I got to Flash up to the point where they're about to do the Invasion crossover.
Oh, wow. So that's like last year or something, right?
Yeah, so I'm pretty, I've got up to Flash there. But then I was like, all right, I'm going to stop because I'm way behind on Arrow. So now I'm like, I'm buzzing through Arrow like at two or three a day or night. And I'm only on season 3 though right now for Arrow. So I've got a ways to go. I think I have another like season to go before I can do
the
that.
The fact that you made it through the first season, because the first season of Arrow to me was just like, oof.
I mean,
when you got to the end, it got better. But
yeah, I mean, I definitely think that it's gotten better now that they're like, they're introducing all these different characters. Like, they just, they're just fighting Ra's al Ghul right now. So it's like, that's where I'm at. So, but I like it that you never know if you're going to see the Huntress or if you're going to see Captain Boomerang or and stuff like that. And I like that aspect of just the fact that this is a whole world that not only do they show up in the Flash, but they also show up in Arrow. And I just like that kind of interconnectivity.
Yeah.
And it feels like, it's cool that it feels like it's a, it's like reading comics when you were a kid, that something happens in one place and there, it resonates into another.
Yeah.
Like they talk about the Flash in Arrow and they talk about Arrow and Flash. And that's just kind of cool. I like that, the aspects of that.
Yeah. I like that a lot. And it's interesting to me how they've made the choice to sort of, make Black Lightning sort of a different thing in its own place.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they'll do, you know, the alternate reality thing kind of like they did to get Supergirl in there. But it's interesting. I think that Black Lightning is very much, there's a couple of things. The first thing that I thought while I was watching the show and before I had read the first issue of the comic was the fact that, it seems like they're doing sort of like the Dark Knight Returns with Black Lightning instead, where it's like Black Lightning, because very specifically, they even say in the pilot, I think he says like, I've been gone for 10 years. You know, I had to give this up for 10 years. And so he's like 10 years older. He's not as young as he used to be, although he is a very, you know, very buff and handsome strapping man. He doesn't look like out of shape at all, like Batman sort of in the Dark Knight Returns was supposed to be a bit, But yeah. it's very much there's shades of The Dark Knight Returns for me, because it's like you've got this gang and it's overrun the city and they're taking over and there's nobody to stop them and the police can't do it. But he's like, I'm retired. I'll never come out of retirement. I've got, you know, for him, the reasons are very different than Batman, than Batman's in The Dark Knight Returns. But, you know, his reason is his family and his daughters and stuff like that. And he made a promise to his now ex-wife, who's, you know, divorcing him, or they're separated. I'm not exactly sure. I can't remember. But
yeah,
that was the first thing that struck me. I was like, oh, they're taking Black Lightning and they're sort of like making it into a Dark Knight Returns sort of thing, which I think is kind of cool. I do.
Which, I mean, they've done that to Arrow as well. I mean, he's very much Arrow is not the not flamboyant, but like, you know, just the kind of Errol Flynn. Yeah, the Errol Flynn kind of, like, you know, he's having fun doing this, and he's like, he has a little bit of a flippant side, and he's passionate.
Yeah.
And he gets into fights and arguments and everything, and fights for causes, but he's not grim and gritty like this Arrow is in that universe.
Well, Arrow is absolutely Batman. I mean, it's basically they couldn't get the rights to Batman. And so they were like, let's just turn Green Arrow into Batman. You know, I mean, that's what they did. And obviously, if you're going to sort of like clip from a character, you might as well clip the best aspects of it, right? And, you know, The Dark Knight Returns is kind of considered one of the greatest Batman stories ever. Now, obviously, this doesn't have sort of the twisted satire that Frank Miller, like, interjected into The Dark Knight Returns, but it is sort of that same sort of train, that path that we're going down, which is very much like, I've given up, I'm not doing this, you know, and there's a gang and they've overwhelmed the city and nobody can stop them and the police can't stop them. And I'm going to have to be the one to, you know, step up and take care of this, which I loved. I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, I'm sure you do as well. I love the reluctant hero, the guy who's like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And then something, you know, vengeance movies, you know, stuff like that, Die Hard, something interjects and it's like, oh man, now I got to take care of this. And I think they did a really good job of sort of setting up the family dynamic in this pilot, because you get an understanding of like why he would want to sort of hold his family together, right? Like you get an idea of like what's precious to him in his life, and the idea that, you know, they kept him as, well, I think he's a school principal in this. I don't know what he is currently in the comics, but he was just a teacher when I read him in The Outsiders and in the first
issue.
Yeah, well,
actually, I think that eventually Lex Luthor gets behind him and Jefferson Pierce becomes the president of the United States.
Does he really?
Yes, in the DC universe. I think that's pre-52 stuff, so I think it's out of continuity, but that's where he ends up being. I mean, he gets involved with like Amanda Waller and all of that stuff. So it's definitely, you know, I don't know if they'll ever go that path.
I highly doubt it.
With him. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. But yeah, it seems like, I think that they're probably just tiptoeing through this to see if Black Lightning is a big hit. They will definitely cross it over with Flash and Arrow. If it was a dud when it first came out and didn't really spark any interest, then I think that they could probably just end it with one season and say, all right, it doesn't cross over, it doesn't do any of this stuff, it was a noble effort. But I think this one has legs. I know that it premiered really strong last week.
The ratings were really good.
And even the replay of the original beat whatever else was in that time slot as well. They replayed it on Friday night, and that beat all the other places too. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I think that it's cool. I mean, it's interesting. This is just another one interestingly timed coincidence between a DC and a Marvel property. Like, we'll have Black Panther coming out now or here soon, and then we have Black Lightning here coming like out now. So it's just kind of interesting that they're doing this at the exact same time. Yeah. Which is, I mean, it's, I think it's about time they did something like that.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But I don't want, it's weird because it's like, in many ways you could really make this into like a Cage kind of story, like a Luke Cage sort of thing, because he's like from the streets and he knows how the streets work, but he's kind of a redeemed man. They kind of have different stories, but I do think that there are parallels between Luke Cage and Black Lightning here, especially in this TV series. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
Well, the thing that I noticed is that, first of all, I feel like this Black Lightning series is very much sort of like the CW. Because, like, what happened with Arrow, right, is, like, if you watch the first, like, season of Arrow, is very much like this soap opera. It's really bad. It's really bad. Yeah. And it picks up like in the second half of the first season. But somewhere along the line, these guys at the CW, Berlanti and crew, I think very much realize like, hey guys, Marvel is having like amazing success with like having fun in their shows and like injecting them. Because when Arrow first started, he was just like, you know, he was like very much just like dark and brooding. My father died on the boat and I've been trapped on the island. And then, you know, you would have like, oh, Oliver, I love you, Oliver, you know, stuff like that. And it was just like, it was bad. It was just wasn't very good. And it wasn't very interesting, at least to me. But then somewhere along the line, they were like, hey, Marvel's doing some really interesting stuff, and they kind of lightened up the mood a bit more, you know what I mean, and made it more fun. They did.
Well, I think they expanded the cast with Green Arrow. Once they brought in Felicity and Diggle was brought in and things like that. I mean, it's getting to the point now where it's just kind of ridiculous where it's like everybody has a bow and arrow now. Yeah. But everyone's either a canary or an arrow. Yeah. But it's still, I like the aspect of just them building a team, and you get to see that team kind of come together. And I think that there's a possibility of that here. I mean, with him and his two daughters, there is like in the comic books, his two daughters become Lightning and Thunder, which are two of was that in the New Outsiders that like Judd Winnick did?
Or? Like I said, I've only really been exposed to him in the original Outsiders and maybe seen him in a couple of, you know, things here and there. But, I mean, to my point, I guess what I was trying to say is, you know, and to your point about Luke Cage, is that I think that this is sort of the CW sort of reaction to the Marvel Netflix shows, which is to make it a little bit grittier, to make it a little bit more based in, like, making the stakes based maybe a little bit more in reality. Like, it's gangs, it's like people getting killed, it's like daughters getting kidnapped, and you didn't really get a lot of that sort of thing that you get in The Flash and Arrow and, you know, Legends of Tomorrow and even Supergirl, where people are kind of like making jokes and like, haha, isn't this all fun? And, you know, giving nicknames to the supervillains and, you know, characters like a lot of the supporting cast in Flash and Supergirl and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And this one, it was very much him. And there was a lot of straight up like angst. And there wasn't a lot of like joking around or kidding. It was just a straight up sort of like drama story. And that's kind of what I liked about it, as far as the CW is obviously not going to go as far as like the Marvel Netflix shows, because they can't, but it seems like they're going for something a little grittier. Do you think that?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely, it's addressing some of the problems that are happening in inner cities and like having like there is a realistic portion of the book or of the show that seems, at least in that first episode, was that they seem to want to tackle some issues. And it's not what I kind of liked about it is that he's tackling problems on the street there. And it's not like cornering like putting it out to be such a black and white issue.
Sure.
He's like changing things on a street level. It's like you know, I feel like if this were done like 10 or 20 years ago, it, like Tobias Whale would have just been a white guy. But having the cast be a black cast, and having like there are good black people, there are bad black people, just like in real life. To me, I really like that aspect, because he's not like just kind of like it's more like he's fighting. Like, he's not fighting his own like race, but he's fighting problems that happen in the inner city, in places like predominantly black neighborhoods and things like that, where it's like you have a school that is supposed that has like an uneasy alliance with the gangs that, look, you know, we respect what you're doing. We promise that we aren't going to have any guns on my property. And then it seems like something happened a while back, that there was a truce between Black Lightning and the gangs, but that's kind of crumbled a little bit.
Yeah. The aspect that I really like that they're tackling too is very much how he was a vigilante at some point, you know, and he, you know, went through it and fought the fight, and you know, I don't know if he got, they seem to insinuate that he got beaten, or that people thought that Black Lightning was dead. So in my mind, there's a part of me was like, oh, okay, did he never really achieve what he meant to achieve? Or did he kill Tobias, or supposedly think he killed Tobias? Because spoilers, you know, Tobias shows up at the end, which we kind of already mentioned, but, did he kill Tobias and then everyone thought that he died in the effort or whatever? Like that's the thing that's not quite clear. But what I really love about this is that it's sort of addressing that thing that, you know, people always joke around about, which is like, well, you know, if you were Bruce Wayne, why would you even put the Batman costume on? Why wouldn't you, you know, go and, you know, become a humanitarian, you know, donate your money, go, you know, donate your money to causes that would actually help inner city youth, you know, to lower the crime rate and stuff like that. And so I like that they're sort of approaching that in that way with this. You know, like you said, sort of like on a street level, what's going to be interesting to me is how this character, because I really sort of for me need to see, like, what is the thing that if this character really believes that I've saved more. And I think he says in the episode, I've saved more lives as the principal of, you know, this high school than I ever could have as Black Lightning. What is going to be the thing that is going to make him go, I got to put that costume back on? And I feel like with what they've set up, it has to be something really interesting and really sort of a unique twist. It can't just be like somebody got killed, you know, and I want revenge.
I mean, I think that he's realizing that he's done a good job lately with basically protecting the areas that he has, and he made that kind of like a crime-free zone. But it keeps on creeping in. And I mean, he's definitely invested. He loves his two daughters who are in the school. The one teaches there and the other is a student there. And it reminded me a little bit of not Stand By Me, Lean On Me. On Me with Morgan Freeman, when he's like, he's not really taking on the gangs, but he's challenging them to be better, and he's challenging them to rise up above what everyone expects of them and things like that. And I like that aspect of just a guy who tries to, he's using his head rather than his fists. And I think that that's really, really kind of cool. I like that kind of, there is like a revenge kind of film sort of aspect to it, because what gets him back in the costume eventually is the fact that his daughters are basically taken from this gang, which, I mean, if you look at it from a far away level, it seems kind of lame that, like, oh, a gang comes in and kidnaps his daughters and then he has to put on the costume.
Yeah.
But I think that the acting and just those aspects of it really make it likable. I think Mike Coulter, is that the guy's name?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's a really good actor. He's great. I forget where have I seen him before?
I do not
do you know.
He's very familiar. Oh no, the gentleman playing Black Lightning is Cress Williams.
Cress Williams. Oh, why didn't I think it was Mike Coulter?
No.
I don't know who Mike Coulter is. Who is Mike Coulter?
I don't know. Somebody you just made up. And our audience was probably yelling at us, like, what is wrong with you?
Probably, yes.
It looks he was on Prison Break, Friday Night Lights. He's done a ton of stuff, it looks like.
Yeah. I mean, his face is very, very familiar.
Yeah.
And then you get Dexter's dad in there.
He was on ER. Oh, that's where it was. ER. That's where I recognize him from. Yeah. Yeah, he was a cop that was like involved with somebody at the hospital, I think, for a while. I remember now. Okay.
Well, it's funny because the only thing that really took me out of this episode, we've been heaping a lot of praise on it, was there was like a fight scene in the middle of it, and they're like, I forget what it was, but was it like a Fall Out Boy song or it was some type of pop rock song.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, why are they doing that? Why don't they put in like, they had some really cool music earlier, like in the club and things like that. Why didn't they go with that aspect rather than, because that's what I really liked about the Luke Cage series. The music was just amazing in that series. And I feel like they could have gone that instead of just doing like a pop rock song. I don't know who it was, but there was like a fight scene. I was like, who chose this song for Black Lightning? It's just like, I don't know. I just wanted it to have I'd just like to have like Black Lightning, the show, to have like a little dirt and funk on it, you know, just something, you know, like maybe some Wu-Tang.
That's not a stereotype or anything, but
it's not, I mean, I don't mean to be, but it's like, you know, it's something more of like, I mean, it could be that's what Black Lightning listens to. And I totally know that. I understand that it's not like, there's not just white music and black music or anything like that, but it just feels like there was an expectation there that that was just a weird choice for
me.
That's
really funny because that didn't necessarily stick out to me, but to get back to sort of your point about like what drives him to put the Black Lightning costume on for one time, you know, to go rescue his daughters. It's interesting to me because you made a really good point because, you know, me being a dad, and this is the aspect that I really like about the show too, is that he's got two daughters. I have one, and it was very much sort of, and if they're going in the direction, which I think they're going, which is sort of another, you know, another take on sort of like Dark Knight Returns, which is like, I'm Batman and I find myself a female Robin, and then I go and I fight crime, who's younger than me, and it seems like either one or both of his daughters are going to become like a crime fighter with him, like down the line, if the previews are any indication. But I very much sort of appreciated that family unit thing. But obviously, like when his daughter got kidnapped, like it would be stretching credibility for me as a viewer for him to go like, I can't put the Black Lightning. Like it would be like, no, you're going to go get the Black Light. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, as a father. But then the thing of it is, and that's an interesting point that would be interesting for another character to bring up and be like, oh, so that's what it took for you yourself to be harmed, as opposed to the city around you, people getting killed all this time. Why didn't you do anything? I mean, that would be a very good thing to sort of address. And I would hope they would do that, because I mean, it sort of does, again, sort of play into the sort of inherent weakness of, you know, I mean, if you're going to look at superhero stories realistically, which I never suggest you do, but, you know, obviously there are people, and, you know, there's a little bit of like inherent selfishness. Like if you say like, look at Superman, and it's like, why aren't you just Superman all the time? Because there's obviously a volcano or a tsunami or an earthquake or, you know, somebody's getting mugged like 24 hours. You know, you should be Superman all the time and be helping people all the time. So it's just, I hope they play with that a little bit. I mean, I don't know if it's too much to expect from a CW show to go into layers like that, but.
Well, they do in Flash. I mean, Flash has been like, his real life has been really strained because he becomes very very much into saving someone's life or going back in time. And it just is, he doesn't have time. Like Arrow does that too. They all like say like, I don't have time to be Ollie Queen. I don't have time to be Barry Allen. I have to, I have this responsibility to be this hero all the time. With those guys, they're kind of like the first iterations of that character. They don't have a lot of legacy, although I know that like there's like the original Flash in there as well. But it feels like this is more about legacy, and I like it that this is not just another young character. I like it that they're able to actually, you know, have like
when you say legacy, you mean legacy of the character in the show, not legacy like as far as the history of the character himself, right?
Yeah, I mean, okay. Like,
yeah, I didn't want to get confused because
he was
like,
a hero.
Flash and Green Arrow have had a legacy of like, but I understand what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like they have. He was a hero. He stopped being a hero, and now he's being pulled back in, which is different than just the basic origin stories, which is what we've got with Arrow and Arrow and Flash. I think that that's an interesting perspective to go into this with, because he is older. He's got kids. He's got like those responsibilities that Arrow and Flash don't have, at least as far as. So
yet.
Far, what I've gotten, So it's kind of that to me is kind of interesting, an interesting way to go into this, because it does kind of the character is more mature. You don't see that like he's not going to run off and like sit on a bridge and cry. You know, he's more of a mature guy that you know he's going to take. He's going to probably take it in and maybe punch some guys or something. But
yeah, well,
which,
he's,
by
he's
the way,
been through it before.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like that because it just feels like there are way too many brand new heroes, and it's cool to have like a hero with a little bit of backstory.
Well, yeah, an older guy too, who's more sort of world weary and has seen the world. I mean, from my perspective, what I really like too is that from a TV show, you know, the family unit is that his daughters are older. I mean, one of them, you know, one of them is a teacher, like you said. The other one is in high school. She looks old enough to maybe like graduate in a couple of years. So you don't have this sort of like thing which happens like in every TV show, or if there's a superhero show with a baby or a young child shows up, all of a sudden like the kid shows up and it's supposed to be this like unique twist in the story, and then within like six episodes it's like, where's the kid? Who's taking care of the kid? Like you don't know how many times my wife and I watch TV shows, and it's like, I mean, we were watching like Orphan Black, and there's a couple that, you know, has a pair of twins, and the twins literally like disappeared like in season three. And it's like, what the hell happened? Who's taking care of the kids? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's really good that he has kids, but they're older. So they don't always have to be this crutch on the story. I thought that was a very smart thing to do as far as the storytelling is concerned.
And although they're not as powerful as Black Lightning, I mean, they're capable of taking care of herselves, because she flips that guy on his ass
right there
in front of the school, which I thought that whole thing is really cool, because Black Lightning knows how to talk to the guys on the street. It's
he
knows how to de-escalate. He knows how people like that in gangs and stuff like that, they're searching for some type of unity and or to belong to something. And he probably at one point, I'm sure he was a young kid on the street and might have been tempted to be in a gang. I mean, you just don't know. But it's interesting that he taught the one kind of like, I don't know what the mob boss, not the mob boss, but he's like the second underling
he's like,
what do you call that?
Head of the gang. He's not the kingpin, but he's sort of like he's like the gang leader. And Tobias Vale is like the kingpin.
It's cool that like he remembers when he was in school.
Yeah.
And that to me is pretty awesome that it's even like he's even a generation older than the bad guys that he's fighting. So that to me is pretty awesome.
That's a really good, you know, that he was a kid in the school and that he knew him growing up and that he knows kind of like where, what he's about and where he comes from. That's really interesting.
It's that whole thing where it's like, I know your mom, I know your family, you know, your family has lived in this area for generations. And, I've been a part of that for a while. That's to me, that's kind of interesting. He's a little out of practice, but he still, is able to summon the lightning and stuff. I like what how they're doing that as well. I think that just the lightning punches and just the fact that the lights flicker when he's using his power, I think that's cool because it shows that he's like drawing from the electricity around him and conducting it rather than just shooting lightning out of his hands.
It's interesting to me because, I mean, we're talking about his powers. From what I remember, and I could be wrong, and this could be a bad recollection on my part, but I sort of remember him throwing his lightning bolts and that they were black lightning bolts. You know what I mean? That they were like, they weren't colored yellow like they were in the other comics. That black lightning actually literally shot like black lightning out of it. And there was a part of me that was watching this show and I was like, oh, are they not doing that? And I'm just trying to think, like, was that a different character or was that, am I misremembering?
I think you might be thinking of Black Vulcan, remember from the old JLA cartoons?
Maybe.
Who was basically Black Lightning, but he didn't have black lightning. He threw lightning bolts, but they were yellow. And then the bottom half of him, his legs turned into like a lightning bolt. And he would fly.
And he was basically a character that was created for Super Friends because Tony Isabella didn't want to give them the rights to Black Lightning. He was like, no, I created him. You can't use him. And so they were like, screw it. We're going to make him anyway.
True. Black Vulcan. Black Vulcan. Yeah.
But I could have sworn that I got to look this up. I'm going to have to go look at some of my Outsider comics after we get off. But I was like, I was watching the show and obviously I'd seen the previews and I was like, oh man, that would have been cool. Can you imagine some sort of like black lightning, like weird effect? Like that would have been amazing.
That would have been cool. Yeah. And I mean, maybe they'll play around with that. I think it's interesting that we're talking about this now and I would like to try to follow it and not get so far behind like I am with all the other series and try to see, like, come back like at the end of this series and come back and see how the whole series has worked out and maybe his powers will evolve. Maybe I just think that as far as this first episode is concerned, it's you didn't really get a big clear picture of like how he got his powers.
Oh no.
There weren't a lot of answers in this first thing.
Which
first
was fine thing. Was, with me. I
yeah,
like
it was
that.
More of like establish the threat in the here and now, and we'll fill in that backstory in a little like in the subsequent episodes. And I think that's a good way to do it. It keeps you asking for more. You don't want to just give it all away in the pilot, but I think it really did a good job of establishing the threat. And just introducing like the core characters. Now, I don't know how. I hope it develops a little bit more. I would love to see more superpowers and more guest appearances because honestly, that's the reason why. That's the reason why I like watching.
You want
that
Batman
show,
to
you know?
Show up?
You know, maybe in this universe, Gotham exists. And that's why. You know, that's why we aren't. Maybe this will cross over with Gotham instead of this. But
I don't watch
Cleveland. You don't like Gotham? I like that one just because I like the Penguin and I like the Riddler. Those two characters are really good. But
I'll trust
anyway,
you on
but yeah, they. I mean, this is also set in Cleveland, in Ohio. Right? Isn't that where this is from?
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
I think I overheard it being Cleveland. Could be wrong.
Yeah, I do not know.
But
I just thought it was some ambiguous non-city that, you know, like they hadn't named.
Well,
I can't remember.
They had it's like a borough of Cleveland that Jefferson Pierce to protect his city. Well, it's just his city. But I could have sworn they said it was Cleveland.
What did you think of the Taylor guy, Peter Gamby, who is very much Dexter's dad, but you know, which I was like, oh, look, it's Dexter's dad. I really like that actor, James Remar. But what did you, he's lifted directly from the first issue of the 70s comic. Like, I'm like,
really?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's cool. That surprised me the most. Cause there was a little bit of it where I was like, really, does he need to have this sort of like old white guy mentor? Does, you know what I mean? Like there was a part of me and he's like, and what, that this guy has like a crime lab in this Taylor has like a crime. To me, a crime lab in his basement. To me, that's the part where I was getting a little bit like, this is kind of dopey comic book. Like we didn't need that in my opinion, but I guess I was willing to forgive it a bit.
I am too, I guess. I think that this whole thing with giving everybody an Alfred and giving everybody everyone has an Alfred, everyone has an Oracle.
Yeah.
It's like who's his computer whiz guy gonna be? You know,
yeah,
it's like, 'cause you gotta have a computer whiz guy.
Yeah.
So it's okay. I understand why they have it, because they want to be able to tell all kinds of different stories. But seeing him in the suit like that, and then having him quip like Alfred does with him a lot, like saying, although he's kind of the opposite of Alfred. Alfred doesn't want Batman to go out there and do all that stuff.
Yeah.
But this guy he wants him. He keeps on telling him how much the city needs him. And he kind of knows that he's going to be coming back. But I don't know. I'm not sold on him. I love the actor. James Remar, right?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
But I don't think the character is necessary yet. But he's a good actor. It's a good backstory sort of there. So I would like to see how they met too. You know, there seems to be the potential for some good stories from that, I think.
Sure. I think there's definitely potential. The way it was presented, though, I mean, he goes into the basement and he's got this like giant glass table that he flips around and he's like, let me show you this. And I'm like, what the hell? What the hell is this? And I was just, because, you know, there's an aspect of the show that, you know, for lack of a better term, is sort of like laid out in like the real world we live in. And, you know, obviously it's a show about a guy that throws lightning bolts. I mean, you can't, you know, that's always the joke that we're talking about movies, you know, the Marvel movies, we're talking about movies where a guy turns green and when he gets angry and can lift a mountain, you know, I mean, like you can't get too hung up on like what's realistic or not, but there was just a part of me that there is a world in which a certain show or movie lives in. And then that sort of like kind of that introduction of like when he goes down into the basement and he's got this like lab in his, and I'm like, what is that? Like it just sort of that kind of took me out of the episode a bit, where it's like, oh, now we were in this sort of, you know, real world of like crime and gangs and stuff like that. Now we're full on going into the, you know, superhero part. And that kind of jarred me a little bit. You know, and then to go even further, you know, if we're going to talk about things that bugged us about the episode, that suit has got to go. Like
the suit,
they got
to
change the suit because it's
trimmed
terrible.
Down a bit. Yeah, like, well, the neon stuff is just kind of crazy.
Shoulder pads, like it
shoulder
just
pads,
dumb.
Yeah, well,
and the Tron circuitry under his arm.
When I first saw it. I was like, oh my God, what in the hell are they doing?
And when I first saw it in an ad. Yeah.
Moving around and doing stuff, it wasn't as bad. I still think it needs some work, but hopefully they can change it up a little bit. They could subtly do that.
It looks like he's got ski goggles on. Like,
like
it's a really bad, like, I mean, look, obviously he's not going to have the sort of the costume looks, I looked around on the internet and the costume looks a little bit like what his current like costume looks like. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, you're not going to have the white wide collar and the shirt down to the, and you know, the puffy pirate sleeves from the 70s. You know, you're not going to have that. But the thing of it is like, come on. I mean, it looked very hard to move around in. And he kind of like, there were some scenes where I almost felt like when he goes to the hotel to rescue his daughters, it seemed like he was walking around like RoboCop, like where he was just so stiff. And I was just like, no, you got to, I mean, he's a big guy. He's in good shape. He doesn't need that like padding. Let's go with something
you need
else.
You need to streamline it a little bit. I mean, I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it so that it looks dynamic at night.
Yeah.
But you know, it's going to be all in the way it's presented in the lighting. If you get
he's not
a director,
be able to sneak up on anybody because he's coming from a mile away.
If you get a director who isn't really good at making it atmospheric and almost Gotham like, he's going to look ridiculous, especially when no one else is wearing a suit. It's just him. So that's a danger. But then again, I just saw a commercial with of the new episode of Supergirl, and it's like this other girl is fighting, this other superpowered girl is fighting Supergirl, and it looks pretty ridiculous as well. So I don't know. But maybe it'll be great once I dive into Supergirl's episodes. But it just felt like I don't know. I think that it's gonna be a fine line walking there, just to find out like what they can get away with and what they can't. Like it's I don't think there should be a lot of daytime stuff with Black Lightning. I just think that that's gonna be
it's interesting because the thing and I've said this before on this podcast, like what I usually find in like an origin story or superhero movies is I find the regular person struggling to come to terms with like a vengeance story or whatever really compelling. And then at some point when they put on the goofy superhero costume, there's a part of me that's just like, okay, this isn't interesting to me. Like in the first, Batman, the first Christopher Nolan Batman movie, what was it called? The Dark Knight? No, that wasn't called that. That was the second one. I can't. Returns. Batman Begins. Whatever it's called. I specifically remember being interested in all the Bruce Wayne stuff and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he puts the Batman costume on. And it's like, he's like, what are you doing? And I'm just like, oh, I don't care about this anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like there was a part of my brain that just like really checked out. So for me, it's always a really fine line. Like you got to bring that superhero costume. Because even in those Nolan Batman movies, there is a thing where I really feel like Batman walks into a scene, you're sort of watching a really great Michael Mann sort of crime thriller, and then Batman walks in and it's like somebody took a needle off the record and went and it's like, what's this guy doing here? Who's this nut job? Somebody get the paddy wagon. Who's this nut job in the bat costume? Like, can we go back to our awesome crime thriller here? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, and I don't know. I'm looking at some of these pictures of him in the his different costumes through the years. Sure. I really liked, there was a version of his costume that he had like little mini dreads.
Oh, and I kind of remember
it was like he had a jacket, but he had a shirt on underneath it.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Static? That's a different
character. No. No, he had this. This was like they weren't like longer dreads, like Static Shock has. It's more like, you know, he's just got a kind of like a leather jacket, and he's got some dreads, and the leather jacket had some lightning on it. I think something like that would be cool. He just needs to wear a shirt. He can't just have the jacket and then no shirt underneath, you know.
Did
like
he wear no
like
shirt that, underneath it.
Well, yeah, he had that whole V-neck thing, like it was like
you're
Iron
talking
Fist.
About the original costume, or
yeah, the original costume. Yeah. He needs to wear a shirt. Yeah, he needs to wear a shirt. Just wear a shirt.
Yeah, I'm looking through some costumes too, and there's a couple here with. I'm looking at some dudes at Comic-Con and spandex, and they have sort of like the blue lightning. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think his best costume was the 70s one, in my opinion, so far.
I do like that 70s one. I mean, it's, I think they're, just the whole spandex one would, is good, but it's not going to look good on just a normal human being. I mean, it looks good because it's drawn with huge, like, muscles. But I do see a couple of pictures of Black Lightning, and his hands are full of actually black lightning. So you're not making that up.
Okay, good. Cause I thought I was making it up or imagining it in my head. And there was a part of me that's like, maybe they'll come out with, like, in the show, it'll be like super intense bolts of lightning, and that's when they turn black. That would be awesome. Yeah.
I'm wondering if they're keeping this separate because they're trying to make this into more of a milestone universe sort of thing.
That would be cool.
And have Hardware show up and have Icon show up and all those old characters. I think that would be kind of fun to see that as well. I mean, I don't know. I like some of the old school nods that they do in the CW. So I'm open for some good stuff from this series, but
there's a picture,
so far so good.
There's a picture here. It looks like there's a site called like Alex in Wonderland. I just found this random picture, and it's these two guys dressed as Black Lightning, and the costume is really cool. It's kind of got like beveled lightning, and the belt is sort of like a V belt and stuff, and plastic, and it looks better than what they've got on the show. It's cool. I'll send you a link to this picture.
But
it's pretty awesome. I mean, I just think that there's a lot of stuff that they could do with the costume. I think, obviously you're right. There's something to be said for sort of like Tron glowy, you know, things and stuff like that.
I just sent you a picture of one too, so it's like the one that I liked.
But I can't get to it for some reason.
Oh, you can't get to it? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. The link popped up, but it wouldn't open when I clicked on it. Weird.
But he's just chilling, wearing a jacket. You know, it's like regular stuff. But he's still, it's iconic. It's an iconic lightning jacket. So.
Yeah. I see it. Yeah. I just opened
up.
Yeah. That's very cool. That's very cool. It's almost like his 70s one, but it has like a black t-shirt underneath.
He's got a shirt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sensible shirt to wear in public. You don't want to have somebody I'm just very uncomfortable with characters who like to, like Namor, Martian Manhunter, they're just like naked pretty much the entire thing.
You're not in touch with your male. You're too uncomfortable with your male heterosexuality.
I guess.
Does Namor turn you on? Is that the problem?
It makes me uncomfortable that he's just walking around in a Speedo and everything.
You know,
I'm just like,
pretend you're at the Olympics diving.
Put some clothes on.
Well, all I have to say is that the only thing that I didn't like was the costume, and I can't say that I hated it. Obviously it's dynamic enough. They got, and the scenes where it showed up were really pretty cool, like when he's throwing the lightning around and kicking some gang member ass. But
club, that was the club was cool.
Yeah, the club was cool. Yeah, definitely.
And I do like I don't know, it's kind of interesting that he's got this low level threat and then he has a big level threat between the two of them. I'd like to see, I just want to see some more characters with superpowers.
Funny. You're all about the guest appearances. Like,
I do. That's what I want. I want some outsiders in there, and
you want Katana to show up or something. Like,
I mean, but it's just going to be boring if it's just him versus Tobias Whale and then a couple of gang members. That's going to be really boring.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely sort of, especially in today, is like, it's a little bit of a recipe for disaster to just have like one superhero character. It's pretty much like the limitations of, you know, what we were given in the early 80s, late 70s, like with Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk, where we don't have a budget to have like two super people throwing each other around. Sorry. It's just not going to work.
He's going to be fighting, you know, he fights like somebody who kicks a puppy or somebody, you know, does. yeah, he's yeah. just like taking on just like kind of like small time crime, which that can be fun, but you gotta kind of action it up. And I think you're right that the CW, they know the formula now. Yeah. They kind of tested it with Arrow. Arrow was a little bit like that at first. It was just like him against just small time crime. Maybe they had a couple of guest appearances, but they didn't get into all the other stuff until much, much later.
But, well, that's what I'm hoping for this show, though, that it doesn't fall into the regular sort of CW formula. I mean, that's what I very much liked about it, is that it seemed very different than everything else that they were doing. I mean, obviously there is a formula that they've developed that has given them success with these shows, but at the very least, you know, I'm hoping that they're thinking a little bit more outside of the box. And, you know, just the sort of flavor of the show seems kind of grittier, more sort of grounded. So we'll see. I mean, like I said, there haven't been like characters quipping through the whole first episode. So it seems like it's very much, you know, hanging on to a sense of, I don't know what the word is, angst or whatever. I mean,
Dawson's Creek-ism or something.
Well, no, not that kind of angst.
I know, but it is. I mean, it feels like a lot of times the Arrow series and the Barry Allen series, they get really soap opera like.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think that they've shied away from it lately, but it does get that way sometimes.
Oh, yeah. And I'm hoping that
it's raining and they're crying on a bridge. Don't want to see that scene again.
I'm hoping that we don't. Like, that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that this Black Lightning is sort of like an experiment for them where they sort of burst out and try something new. And, why not? I mean, you know, they've got a character that isn't as well known as anybody else. And they've got a lot of potential to tell like real sort of like, not real stories, but stories based in the, you know, a real world background, you know, pulled from the headlines, you know.
Well, it would be interesting if they even changed his powers a little bit. I mean, he is, like you said, he is a smaller character. And so, like, you could actually have a little bit more liberties with this because not everybody is a Black Lightning. I'm sure there are a few Black Lightning purists out there, but I don't think that they're going to be up in arms one of the things that kind of concerns me is that, like, I don't want him to have a motorcycle, like a lightning cycle or a lightning car or whatever. You know, it would be cool if he actually could travel like a bolt of lightning, maybe, or something. I don't know if that would be cheesy or what, but it would definitely make it a little bit more dramatic in like his entrances and his exits, you know. Maybe not just a crash of lightning, but I don't know, travels through currents or whatever.
Like the electric lines. Well, for me, what seems to be coming is, you know, the team up between him and his daughters and how he sort of deals with that. And that's the dynamic that I'm really looking forward to. I mean, as a whole, that's kind of what dragged me into the show, was seeing that dynamic played out, because obviously I have a young daughter and just like, obviously I'm not going to go out and fight crime with her, but sort of that like father daughter.
You never know.
You never know. You know,
how old is she? She's
still young. She's not old enough to fight crime. Let's just put it that way.
All right. I guess you gotta train her properly first. Then you take her out to the streets.
The mean streets of the valley in California. There are some mean streets out in the valley. So, as a whole, we pretty much enjoyed it, right? I mean,
And it also looks like they're gonna introduce Cobra in
Really? Like the organization or?
Yeah, not the, what do you call it?
The cult
in the DC? It's like a cult. Yeah, that's like a cult.
Not which the G.I. Joe Cobra.
No, not G.I. Joe Cobra. No. But I think if they do that, that would be cool. Like him actually having a couple of different sort of characters with powers.
Yeah. You're hung up on that.
I am.
You want to see superhero fights. I do want to see superhero fights.
It's like, you know, we've waited all our lives for this. And now it's like, just because it's TV, that's no longer an excuse anymore. It's like you could do probably more on TV than you can anywhere else.
Yeah,
so.
I guess so. You're right. You're not wrong. Cool. So we both enjoyed Black Lightning. I'm going to watch it again tonight, hopefully. We're recording Tuesday night. So yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything much more I could say except that I'm into it. I want to watch it. I want to stay on top of it. Some of the other CW shows have fallen by the wayside for me, cause they end up showing up on Netflix anyway. So, you know, I'll catch up at some point, but this is one that I definitely, like you said earlier, kind of want to watch week to week and see how it goes, you know? As long as I can convince my wife to watch it with me. So, cool. So, yeah, we both enjoyed Black Lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Ride the lightning.
I hope Static Shock is going to be coming in. I hope.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, I'm sure there's rights issues that might be preventing the Milestone thing, but that would be
maybe
awesome.
He has a dog that shoots lightning named Sparky.
Did Static have a dog that shot lightning? I don't remember.
No, I don't think they did, but that would be cool if they did.
You just made that up. All right. My name is Christian Horn, and this has been the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. I have been with Mark L. Miller of mlmillerwrites.com, also the author of Grave Trancers from Black Mask Studios, correct? Comics.
Yeah, Black Mask Studios.
And issue number 2 comes out next week. That's awesome. I can't wait.
Yes.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you for joining me, Mark. I always appreciate your time coming on to the podcast.
Thank you. It's always fun.
And we will be back soon with another episode. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Part-Time Fanboy. Part time. Oh, yeah, do it part time. Oh, yeah, do it part time.